This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Responsive designs for websites are all the rage. That means they look good on phones, tablets, and desktop. You want templates that work for you, great selections, and a free trial without asking for a credit card? Squarespace is the right place. Go try it out now. If you like it and hang around, I want to save you some money. 10% off your account by checking out with the checkout code MORNING. That's the code MORNING. At squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, the mall has fans in it.
Beware the spider house.
Doctor removes a football from... things scrolled over. Hold on a second. From a kid.
Ooh, live from New York. It's the worst ratings ever.
That's way better than what I wrote. Archer changes some things around.
Major spoilers.
V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Count Micro Machine Man here. I live for the night, so I carry my own light. Micro lights. Touch them like slow, they really glow, but that's not all. Try these amazing Micro Machines light to sound vehicles. They come with a mighty mini building, have a real glowing emergency lights, and make two sounds. Check out these super micro lights with lights that glow and passengers to go. Where do you play with this light and sound? Show the Combat City playset. There's a happening heliport, military lift, pivoting gun turret, and fantastic firing rocket. But look out. In case of a real emergency, get the Emergency City playset. There's the fabulous White House, ambulance station, rear ramps, and helipad. Micro lights, lighted sound vehicles, super micro lights, and playsets, each sold separately from Galoob.
I mean, that's good. Almost be a scene out of Star Wars.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
They are all that is man. This is The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Hello from Galoob. Galoob was my favorite of the toy manufacturers because the name is so dumb.
Galoob.
Galoob. You know, at least you had, the other ones were like Mattel. What else did you have there?
You had Kenner. Kenner, Mattel.
Is that it?
Play School.
Play School, sure. But Galoob, man.
Fisher Price.
Galoob was Galoob. The coolest name.
Yeah.
By far. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Morning Stream. It is TMS Monday edition, 8:01 a.m., the Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters, October 13th, 2014. I'm Scott, that's Brian.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hello. It's as if we spoke last night.
It's just like that, just like as if.
Did you raid?
I did.
You did? How'd
it
that
go?
It
was an achievement run. Well, I only was in for the first hour. I was exhausted. Yeah. In the first hour, we did all the achievements for... the first wing of Siege of Orgrimmar. So,
oh, wow. That's when you know you truly have it on farm.
Exactly, yes.
Mm. Well, that's lovely. Good times.
Yeah.
I did not. I watched The Sopranos. And
that's all right.
It's on an episode called Pine Barrens in season 3. Now,
Pine Barrens, okay.
The reason I want to bring this up is because that felt very much like... there was something about it that was reminiscent of almost everything Steve Buscemi's in. And how I mean, this is the one where they get lost in the woods.
Polly, I love that one. Yeah, yeah, the whole thing takes place in the woods.
Yeah, it's a great episode, period.
Oh, but yeah, Polly and Silvio and Christopher, right?
It was actually just Polly and Christopher. Yeah. Silvio was sick and at home, and that's why he didn't go.
That's
and they
right.
had that German or that Russian with him, and they don't know where he went. And it's just, it's funny without trying to be, like, it's just really well made. Mm-hmm. But the whole time I'm going, this is like a Steve Buscemi. It's like he could have played all these parts. Like, the whole time I'm reminded of him. And I get to the end, I'm doing my little IMDb thing because I like to check stuff, you know. He directed this whole episode.
Oh, there you go. See?
And basically, I got shot in the face for an hour.
It's like the Seinfeld episode where they're in the parking garage for the entire episode.
Yeah, it is kind of like that.
It's the Sopranos version of that.
But it was so weird to feel the Buscemi vibe and then find out, oh, he freaking directed the entire episode. It was too crazy. Anyway.
That's funny.
I enjoyed it. I was up late. And part of that was because it's been a rough week for me. A little bit of a rough week. Yeah. So my father, or what do you call him? Stepdad. I still don't quite know what to call him because he's, you know, he came into the family in his 70s. So it's not the same as like, my stepdad's keeping me down or whatever, you know?
Right, exactly. It's not you weren't raised by him.
No.
It's a harder relationship to put
it's
a
just
fine
hard.
Point
yeah,
on.
I don't know how to describe it other than, I mean, legally or whatever you'd call
it. Stepdad is.
Is it appropriate? Okay.
Sure.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I've been struggling with that word. But anyway, it doesn't matter. He had a weird thing happen. So just to give people an update, and everybody was so nice over Twitter and stuff over Friday and Saturday, but he's still in the ICU. Basically, what happened is he's had a series of three kidney operations to get rid of some really gnarly stones, kidney stones. And for a guy who's 83 now, they're kind of a beast. Like, it's real rough on you. So they thought they were out of the woods and had 2 days of, like, I'm feeling great. This is awesome. Up on his feet again, doing stuff. And then Friday, he couldn't walk, didn't know his name, couldn't tell, didn't know who my mom was. Like, just totally in a fever of, like, who knows how many degrees, just out of it, right? So they rushed him to the hospital. That was Friday when I found out. I rushed down there. And we hung out for 8 hours while he was in the ICU getting stabilized and, you know, all the tubes and the whatnot run into him and whatever. Basically, he got a blood infection, which is sepsis.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Okay. And for an 83-year-old to get sepsis, that's very bad. Because, you know, it's kind of a hard thing to come back from. But he's stable now. He's on the right meds. He'll be there for at least 6 days. My mom's much better than she was, obviously, because she was panicking a bit. But now, you know, she's kind of he's in good care. He has good doctors and stuff. So, yeah, we're keeping an eye on it, and everything's going good. I just wanted people to know, because people were Twitter was extremely nice on Friday.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that kind of speaks to the transparency and honesty of the show and you, especially in that, you know, you'll share that kind of stuff on Twitter and say, hey, this is what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's some people who'd probably be like, nope, there's my professional life.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's my regular life. Amanda Bynes, I'm looking at you. And
aren't we all looking at her at some point?
Aren't we all looking at Amanda Bynes? But anyway, yeah, I mean, it speaks to the transparency and the honesty and the, you know.
The hard part, too, is like, I don't know how else to do it when I know, for example, I had to cancel Current Geek, which I really loathed to do on Friday because we had really special guests lined up and a cool new product launch to talk about. And it was like this kind of a big deal, but, you know, family first and all that. So in my head, you're like, well, do you just tell people what's really going on, or do you go, sorry, no show tonight? You know, I mean, I feel like I can't do that.
Private issue or something like that. Yeah.
I feel like I can't do that. That's not in me to do that. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm lying or anything. It's just that, or I would feel like I was. I don't know. I just feel like I have to tell you what's going on.
Disingenuous. Right.
Yeah. Sure. I just tell you what's going on, because what's the difference? Either that, or people start going, oh, what's he doing? What's he up to? Or maybe what I do tell people is TMI. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Running into you people, and when I say you people, I mean, you know, fans
you
of
people.
The show.
Who are you calling you people?
You people. That's what University of Utah people are called by the BYU rival
people.
Team.
Sure.
Yeah, it's you people.
It's one of those you people.
Yeah, exactly. I was at the mall. I went to the mall and was hanging around there. And man,
did you see Robin Sparkles out there?
I did not see Robin Sparkles.
Oh, darn. Okay.
But I did hold an iPhone 6 that wasn't dented like mine.
Oh, how did it feel?
It made me want to figure out a way to get another one that isn't dented. Whatever. It's my own fault. I need to eat my pride and just deal with the fact that I slammed my crotch into a table and dented my phone.
It's really just a vanity thing because it works fine.
Yeah, it is. It's totally fine. Look at it, everyone. Can you even tell? I can. anyway, so I'm at the mall and there's two things happen. I ran into a fan. Some guy stopped me outside of the Apple store on my way out of it. I think it was the Apple store, or maybe I was on my way to it. But anyway, stopped me outside the store and said, are you Scott Johnson? And I was thinking, uh-oh, I'm getting served. I'm going to court, you know? My first thought anytime.
Right. They always do that in the movies, too. Like, oh, hey, how are you? And then, oh, good, nice to meet you. Need an autograph? And they're like, nope, you've been served.
Yep.
And they hand you a stack of papers and walk away.
You reach out your hand to shake their hand, and they hand you a stack and say you've been served. And I was really concerned that that's what was happening, because I always think that's happening. It's never happened, but I always think it's going to. Anyway, not at all. It's just this nice guy listens to the shows, the Instance, TMS, other stuff, and was there with his kid, and it was super nice, and just said, oh, it's so cool to meet you. And I said, well, here, let's take a picture. He goes, oh, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, no, come on, get in here. And we took a photo, and it was super, super nice. And I'm now on this high. I'm like, yeah, man, saw a fan. It was totally cool. We got to talk to him, compliment him, hang out a little bit, you know, on cloud nine. Mm-hmm. Now I'm walking through the food court. And there's a lady there, and she's got a tray full of Chinese food.
Okay.
All right. A lot, I thought, for one person, but whatever. I'm not here to judge. I'm walking past her, just trying to go behind her. Her timing was bad, and she turned into me as I walked past her. Okay? So, like, turned into me and slammed into me with her tray. Now, the tray, thankfully, was angled up a bit on the hand that she ran into me with, so it didn't dump on me. It instead flipped the other direction, and she dumped, I don't know, what looked like 5-6 pounds of Chinese food all on the food court floor.
Oh, no.
In the middle of this mall. And she called me a mother effer.
No way.
She goes, oh, you mother effer. And at first
and
I thought.
She slammed into you. Like she was.
It wasn't
she
me.
Wasn't looking. She turned. Right.
Yeah. I was taking the path. There's a path there past the, like, where she's coming out of where the Chinese place is. She was barking something at somebody over there and kind of leaning toward them as she was sort of making her move to walk toward me, but not paying attention. There's no crowd awareness going on. She ran into me. This was absolutely not my fault. It was just that I was. It was like that video you sent me last night of that lady in L.A. that.
Getting
out of her car. And
getting out of her car and tumbling on the ground. Yeah. Yes.
Like I didn't. I wasn't me. I didn't. And that was even. You know, those were paparazzi being jerks. I wasn't even doing that. I was just walking. Right. She slammed it on me. She goes, "You mother effer."
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then she got on the floor, started picking up her food. I tried to help her. She kind of didn't want me to. Grabbed her food and walked away. Now, part of me thinks she went and sat down and ate it.
Oh, like picked it up off the floor and still ate it?
Part of me wants to believe that. But part of me is probably believing that because part of me thinks that she was a total hag to me. And so I'm trying to assign as much deprecation to her as possible. But it's entirely possible she threw it away. But I kind of went away from that going, well, that's just great. Meeting a fan in the mall. Couldn't be a nicer exchange. And then I bump into complete stranger lady and her freaking Colonel Sow or whatever the hell. What's his name? Colonel.
He's General like, General Sow's chicken.
I've given him a...
I've demoted him.
Yeah. Took away one of his stars. But to have her dump that everywhere and then call me that. I don't know, man. It was like it was like a poop sandwich. You really get to
see karma work very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, or not really karma, because that implies that you did something wrong. But the balance of the balance of life, let's say.
Okay.
With you know, somebody saying, "Hey, I really enjoy what you do. Thank you, man. Oh, it's great to meet you, and you're really cool."
Yeah.
And then you walk away, and there's somebody who feels exactly the opposite way about you.
Yeah, and unfairly about me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's almost it's worse because I didn't do anything. You ran into me. It wasn't my fault. I mean, it reminds me, I've never had an accident in a car, so I don't know what this is like, but this has to be what that's like. People get so mad, even if it's their fault, so they get out of the car. You rear-ended me. Well, no, I didn't, actually.
But in both cases, you're just doing what you do.
Yeah.
And the people either appreciate or don't appreciate it.
But it's so not what I would do. Like, if I ran pulled into a lady and slammed into her with my food and it dumped all over the floor, I would go... Oh my gosh! I'm so sorry. That is so my fault. I'm so sorry.
Are you okay? Do you got any? You got any sweet and sour on you? You okay?
Yeah, right. That's how I sleep at night. Is because I'm not an ass to everybody else. That's why. This isn't me tooting a horn. This is me going. Is there another way? I didn't know you could act another way. Anyway, there's that. So here's how I cheer myself up after that mess.
Okay. Right? How do you cheer yourself?
Well,
up?
I remember the fan. And then I remember another fan that sent us a remix of a song that stars you.
Oh, really? Okay.
This is truly a wonderful thing, and I want to play it for you now.
I've been hearing about this, so I'm excited to finally... I've not gotten to hear it yet, so...
Yeah, I didn't share it. So this is from Bernie Walter, fan of the show. This is less than a minute, 57 seconds long, and it features Brian in his most recent Skype glitchiest moment. Sit down and relax and enjoy the remix with Brian Ibbett.
Lip, lip. My lip, lip, penis, penis, penis.
I love it.
Lip, lip, penis, penis.
You can guess.
Lip, 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 penis, 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 penis.
If you're sensing a trend here.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. We'll let it finish out here. It sounds even more Skype bitchy.
Harold Faltermeyer.
I know. Totally, dude.
Lip, lip. Wow, nice. Nice organ.
Yeah. It ends strong here. Oh, there is no final limp penis. Well, I'll play you this one.
A really, really huge
limp, limp, penis, penis, penis.
There you go. Got it. Thank you, Bernie. That cracked me up. It was very nice of you to do that. Take your time. Nice. I mean, I put the challenge out there. I said, hey, somebody make a little techno remix, and they did it. So,
people, I've said other things on this show.
Oh, yeah, a lot of other things.
A lot of other things you could pull from if you'd like.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be all that. It could be it could be that.
Munchie Chi.
It could be that.
Take a selfie.
It could be.
Oh, jeez. All right, never mind.
Horrendous smell.
Aw. Your dream sucks.
Yeah, yeah. And then finally.
I love it when you squeeze me.
All right, great. Brian says many things. And,
I think that was even like somebody wrote in. That was a dedication that I was reading. The love it when you squeeze me. Because I can't even think of like where.
Yeah, what would that have been from?
Where I would have said that.
There's no context for it. All right.
Squeeze me and a little fart comes out.
We're gonna call our buddy Daryl. Squeeze him until a little fart comes out.
Sounds good.
Because he is the Trek nerd and that's what we do here with him. It's Sump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Boop, 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 boop. This is a message from the future. An alien probe is attacking the Earth, and the only sounds that will stop it are at theredshirtdiaries.com. There you can save the Earth by watching The Red Shirt Diaries, a Star Trek parody web series with new episodes every Monday. Follow Ensign Williams, a low-ranked security officer, as she fights violent sentient plants, overly friendly superior officers, and alien probes that refuse to let her sleep. It's the only way to save the future Earth. Earth. Go to www.theredshirtdiaries.com.
I like it. That's a good reading. Jeez.
And there's a second one here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I forgot. So double your pleasure today.
Your intro here. All right. Mechaleka hi, mechahiney ho. Yes, we just wanted to hear Brian say this. Come see our Kickstarter at tinyurl.com/SOVKick.
SOVKick.
That's the one that's case sensitive, right?
Tiny URL? I think Bitly is. But I can confirm that right now. Let's see.
Right. SOV kick.
Let's just confirm. So if I put it in but change the caps, totally works whether you capitalize or not. Yeah, not case sensitive.
A nice zombie reference there. Whoever you are and whatever your Kickstarter is, whatever you do, don't tell anybody what your Kickstarter is about.
It looks awesome. I'm checking it out right now. This is. The Consortium, a sci-fi role-playing game. It looks awesome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Wow, well, this is really cool.
Should put that in your intro.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Hi, Daryl.
Artwork is beautiful. Hi, Daryl. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Oh, that's great.
Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
What? Is that a thing?
It is only in Seattle.
No. Yeah. Tell us about that. What is it about?
For the rest of us, it's Columbus Day, but in Seattle, ...
Hold on a second. Really? How have I not heard this? Why?
They officially changed it. Oh, because it's offensive.
How is it offensive?
I don't know.
Because Columbus came over here and did what? Ruined everyone's life? It was the later ones that brought all the disease and stuff. It's not his fault. He was he was just a hapless explorer played by Gerard Depardieu, right?
I mean, in the war, 1492, the conquest of paradise.
That one. You know,
Ridley Scott.
Was it Ridley Scott?
It was Ridley Scott, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Pretty sure.
Well, anyway, it's not... Come on. Well, really?
They're giving him too much power to be changing holidays.
Indigenous Peoples Day. All right. From now on, Christmas is the Roman Executioner's Day. That's Easter. So Easter is Roman Executioner's Day. Christmas will be Dirty Donkey Day.
Mm.
What's another bad idea? I know. This is dumb. That's like saying, hey, instead of Valentine's Day, we're going to celebrate Broken Heart Day. Because let's do the opposite of whatever the thing's for.
But it's celebrating a guy who did a few fairly questionable, not even questionable. I mean, he claimed land that technically wasn't his and wiped people off that land so that he could claim it.
Did he, though? Or did he just pave the way by getting here? Because he got here.
Killed a bunch of native Native Americans.
Did he?
Didn't he just come here and say, "Oh, this is Spain"? Whoops, no, it's not.
You came here and went, you know, this is
if
not
Sherman
India.
And Mr. Peabody are to be believed, he just showed up, planted his flag, got turned around, got dizzy, fell over, something.
Quiet, you. No, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I don't remember enough of my class. I know there was the Pinta, the romaine lettuce, and the other ship. I don't remember the name of the ships. They came over.
Santa Maria, the Pinta, and the...
And the...
Nina. Yeah, the Nina.
Right.
The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria.
And they came over here and they parked and they
1492's Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah, they thought they were opening a trade route to India, but no, it turned out to be not that way. Also, there's another great, it's always that great old thing that he supposedly thought the world was flat, or everyone else did, and he thought it was round and he was going to go prove it. It turns out that's like total bullcrap.
Most
people believe the world was already round, and it was. That's a dumb thing. I hate that we were taught that as kids. It bugs me. It's like, you're just indoctrinating us, damn it.
Well, one good thing about political correctness is my son's school is going back to calling it Halloween.
Whoa, what was
instead
it before?
Columbus Day?
No, instead of... They used to have these parties all
Let's
day.
Let's just call it Halloween.
Yeah.
They called it Autumn Celebration.
Oh gosh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, okay, look.
How long before they start calling it Fright Fest?
Yeah, Fright Fest. Great idea. No, that's still too... That's probably still whatever. Everyone gets a trophy, blah, blah, blah. Look, it's not a problem so much that if you're like... I'm actually kind of a believer that the Redskins should do the right thing and change their own name.
No, they should just change the logo to a potato, and then they're good.
Just call it the Redskin Potatoes.
The Redskin Potatoes, yeah.
That's a brilliant idea. I'm sure that everyone will rally behind the potatoes as they try for another win at the Super Bowl. As they go to the big dance. the potatoes.
It won't be offensive for another 100 years, so they're good for till then.
Well, the truth is they're never going to get to the Super Bowl again anyway because they suck. They've been in a rebuilding year for the last 20 years. But that's not the important part. The important part for me is, okay, I kind of get the Redskin outrage. I kind of get it when people freak out about other things, right? Certain things I see why they would do that. However, Halloween? Come on, dude. What's the reasoning there? Did they give reasons for that?
Oh, it's offensive,
too. It celebrates
a
pagan holiday.
I guess. I don't know.
Okay, great. Well, I'm... Enjoy your homogenized, freaking weird-ass Logan's Run future over there in Seattle, Washington, everybody.
Oh, it's going back, though. It's not. It's Halloween now again.
All right.
That's when do they have the crystals implanted into your palms?
Yeah, what, do they have a date? Or, you know, are they going to, you know, I like to plan ahead.
If you get 3 Starbucks a week, the crystal renews.
I'm sorry, we're not calling it Starbucks.
Otherwise, you're
anymore.
Dead at 30. Bye-bye.
We're calling it Astrological Bucks.
That's terrible. All right, well, welcome to the show nonetheless, and here's a chance for you to have a Star Trek question done. Although, before we do that, we're going to play a mashup. It's Monday mashup time, and this are various sounds from the show. Here you go, right here. At Giardia, or whatever her name is. What's her name?
Right.
Giardia?
It's a Giada De Laurentiis.
Giardia De Laurentiis. Got it. He hustled the man.
I'm pushing hard and it's not coming out.
We gotta get Mendoza. It's because you need that shit, yo.
Your dream sucks.
Like I'm being fed a worm on a hook or something here. I guess I'll just have to bite it because I have no way to avoid it.
It's Brian Dubbitt. Dubbitt? It's Brian Ibbitt, everybody.
I know this guy. I love him like a son. It's Birdman Dubbitt.
Yeah, thanks for having me on Current Sec.
How's it going? Brian Dibbitt here.
You're fine with sticking a phone in your front pocket next to your nuts.
I don't care that it comes out of the civet's butt. And, so having it next to your nutsack's the same as having it next to your mouth.
Wow. Good gracious. You know, he told me there were no ball references in that mashup. He lied to me. That was full of ball references.
It totally was. And, he probably also said that didn't say that it was all from Current Geek, did he?
No, he didn't. That was a very nice Current Geek mashup. All right. Well done. Whoa. Hold on. I almost replayed it. Daryl, here's your question. Your Star Trek trivia question. You know, that's what we're here for. In the original series episode Return to Tomorrow, a being known as the Sargon, or not as the Sargon, he's just Sargon, it's his first name, wants to use some of the Enterprise's crew's bodies to host their minds so they can build android bodies for themselves. Kirk is all for this. Kirk is not, or McCoy is not. Kirk tells Scotty they could have a ship with engines the size of what type of nut?
Oh, I know. I'm not going to say.
Well, you should can I say? Just hold on to it.
Well, he's... pace yourself until after food and birthdays.
Yeah, that's all we're saying. Yeah, you can hold on to it for now. Is it A, a cashew, B, an almond, C, a walnut, polywalnuts, D, or a peanut? A peanut for D. It's
or
like kissing a
peanut. Pistachio nut or pine nut.
You know, that's what Homer Simpson said about kissing. Who's the little squatty guy that's on The Simpsons that's always, oh, no. He's like a little.
The old man.
Yeah, what's his name?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway,
I know
Homer said
about the long beard.
Yeah, one time. No, a different one. No beard.
Oh, you're talking about
big glasses,
the car salesman. Oh, Molman, Hans Molman.
Hans Molman, that's it.
Yes,
he was. Oh, yeah. He kissed him on the forehead once and said, "Ooh, it's like kissing a peanut." And I always remember that for some reason. Anyway, Daryl, so your answers or possible answers are cashew, almond, walnut, or peanut. Hope you don't have any allergies to those answers. In the meantime, I didn't bring anything over here. I have no idea what we're doing. I guess you guys still have stuff from what's that I never got, by the way.
Oh, that's same. Really? You never got the
bag? Never got it. Something must have got lost in the hoo-ha.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodies.
It's entirely possible our fine mail postal system here in these United States has failed us on my end, because I've watched for it. Like, Kim's been on high alert.
Oh, God, the smell that comes out of this.
DEFCON 4.
Every time I open this Ziploc bag.
So last time you had chalk or something. So what's next?
Do you want to do the toasted corn cones that look like little paper? What is all this brown dust that's coming out of this? I'm not kidding,
man. That's bad. That sounds not good.
I wonder if this shows up on camera. Can you see, like...
Let's see. Hold it up.
The brown...
Oh, yeah.
...dust that's all over this?
Yeah, what is that? Ew.
Yeah.
There's nothing in mine that's dusty.
Are you feeling non-trustworthy of the dust?
Just a little.
Just a little bit.
Hey, how about these mints? These mints look good.
You can do the mints. Do the mints.
Are we avoiding the dust? What's the dust coming from?
It's coming from these cones. These cones.
Oh. They look kind of like little doomsday machines.
Really?
Star Trek episode.
Like the paper, you're talking about the paper cones, right?
Yeah. They look like they're going to zap a planet or something.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You want to do one of those? I got to do this over.
Go for it. I think you should lick the brown dust.
I am so not going to lick the brown dust. I don't even know what that.
Lick the brown dust.
From the inside of the cone coming out, but God, that worries the.
It's like some, throwaway B-side Sgt. Pepper's single. Lick the brown dust, man. Because that sounds like acid, doesn't it? Isn't that what they used to be?
It does, yeah.
Like angel dust or whatever they called it?
Well, it was like stuff they put on stamps.
My drug knowledge is minimal at best.
Are we doing a pink one or a yellow one?
I've got an orange one and a purple one.
You guys pick whatever you want.
The orange one had less dust on it, so that's the one I pulled out.
I think we have different flavors. I'm going to pick yellow.
Are there all sorts of flavors you can get? How do you do this thing? How do you unwrap it from the...
I'm going to unwrap it from the top.
Oh, yeah. That seems to be the right way. You can kind of unfold. It's tucked in, so it's like wrapped around something. This paper
there
is
that brown dust.
Now you're finding the brown dust. Oh, yeah. It's coming all out. Oh, I don't like this at all. Oh, look at all this brown dust.
That's a sign we have to do it.
Where the hell?
A visiting a tourist in Las Vegas was hospitalized today for brown dust overdose.
It smells a little caramely.
I'm sure it's just something off of
brown dust. There isn't. So I guess you're just supposed to dump some of this brown dust in your mouth.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, is it? It's filled with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Brian, you got this, dude.
Do I need to melt this on a spoon before I...
I like it. This is your little gateway to harder drugs.
Yes, exactly. This is like what Charlie brought to the island.
and the Maid Marian dolls, the Mary dolls.
The Magdalene. Yeah. All right, here we go.
This says Industria Bimarca on it.
Industry or industry?
Industria.
Industria. Got it.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Industria.
What's that taste like? Oh. No.
It tastes like
that's
bad.
Not good.
It tastes like
no,
bad?
It's not good.
Describe what you're having here. Come on.
All right. It's like, it starts off like a sweet corn meal, like a corn biscuit kind of thing, like a sweet corn biscuit.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it gets really bad.
Yeah.
What is the bad? Describe the bad. Like, what's, like, you have a comparison?
Like a stale dough aftertaste.
Ugh. Yeah, exactly.
Ugh.
Like these are mold scrapings from old bread.
That's not good.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I just got my penicillin.
And like, heroin. Oh, like dirt, like that dirt taste you get out of bread sometimes. I hate that taste.
Yes.
That's it.
Oh, that's gross.
Dirt.
I'm glad
tastes
you guys.
Tastes like dirt. Corn soup with a nice dirt finish.
All right. Well, fantastic. I'm glad I didn't get that in the mail suddenly.
Johnson dodges another bullet.
Yeah, big time, dude. In fact, I've noticed.
No, I didn't get that package at all.
I really didn't get it. I really didn't, for reals. All right, that's fantastic. Now let's play a game called Daryl, who gives us birthday time. Birthday time, Daryl?
Oh, yes. Let's get serious.
Very
who
serious.
Who is this? Meyer Dolinsky would have been 91 today. He wrote the worst Star Trek episode of all, Plato's Stepchildren.
No, that's not what we watched last night. We pre-watched
Turnabout Intruder.
Turnabout Intruder, the final episode of season 3, which really is a pile of garbage.
Yes.
Boy, that's not a great note to go out on either. I'll bet that was a grim day. When they said that's it, everybody, we're done. And that's your last episode, and that's all we're going to ever do. And Roddenberry's barely got anything to do with anything. And it's just, it was so bad. That must have seemed like the end of it all. Like, this is never going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
There's never going to be more Star Trek ever again. Just hang it up, go home, we're done. I mean, it must have felt very ugly and finished. Can you explain real quick, what happened to Uhura? How come she's not in there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think by then she was off to another. A whole bunch of the cast actually was off doing other things by then. They had all packed up their stuff and left.
Well, you had, you still had really odd performance by the two chuckleheads, Chekhov and Sulu.
Sulu and Chekhov, yeah, looking at each other constantly during that episode, like, oh,
that was really weird. They almost felt like they weren't there. Maybe they were filmed so separately that it just made it feel like they weren't actually physically with them. But it was an odd, just a feeling of like, oh no, Star Trek is dead. This will never be anything ever again. And it was a long time till it would be, you know?
Yeah.
It was a good long, two decades?
Well, 4 years till the animated series.
Yeah, but that must have felt like a throw. That must have felt cheap and throwaway. Because you and I appreciate that show for what it is, or like it because of what it is, because we were kids. But nobody else is going to. I mean, the adults, like all that cast, they weren't thinking that was cool. That was just like, ugh, am I being reminded of this terrible thing we did? And now it's for kids on Saturday mornings. This is terrible.
Well, by then, the popularity had started going way, way high and started going crazy. And there were conventions and everything. So they knew that they had something.
Well, that's good, I guess. And then the motion picture would come later with that molester guy from Seventh Heaven. all right. So, Daryl, whose birthday? Did you already say?
No. Meyer Dolinsky.
Oh, and who's that?
He wrote that Plato's Stepchildren.
Oh, yeah, you did say all this. That's right. Happy birthday to that guy.
By the way, I found out a little bit more about that Gofio thing that Daryl and I just ate.
Yeah.
It's basically roasted corn flour with sugar in it.
Ooh, that's...
It's just flour and sugar.
That maybe doesn't seem complete to me.
Threw some water and an egg in there, you could probably bake it into something that actually would be edible. But all
right. I doubt it.
All right.
Yeah, I doubt it too, actually.
You know, fresh dirt cakes like Mom used to make.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Daryl, back to your question. You seem to have known it. Your choices were cashew, almond, walnut, or peanut. He was making a reference to a tiny little engine. Which one do you think it was?
The size of a walnut.
A walnut, eh? Polly Walnuts. Got it. One of my favorite characters in the history of television now. That guy is the best, especially in that episode, trapped in that van with Chris. Too good, man. Too good. Let's find out if you're right.
Congratulations.
Oh, right.
You're a winner.
You are right. He tells Scotty that he could have engines the size of walnuts on a ship as large as the Enterprise. Here is a clip of all that talk going down right here.
Scotty, I need your approval, too. Since you'll be working with them, furnishing them with all they need to make the android robots. You won't be working with them. You'll be working with us, our bodies. They'll be inside us and we'll be...
It all seems rather indecent to me.
I'm not so certain of that, Doctor. It is scientifically fascinating.
Bones, they'll show us medical advances, miracles you never dreamed possible. Scotty, engineering advances, vessels this size, with engines the size of walnuts.
Oh, you're joking.
He didn't call them walnuts, he called them walnuts.
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 I like the little Pulaski bit inserted in there.
Oh, yeah, nice job.
No, it's not inserted. She played that doctor, yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, she was around then, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was her. That was her.
Really that was a little sample.
Well, here's what's funny. When she showed up on season two of TNG, I think we were all supposed to have been excited about that. And then some people, probably Daryl being one of them, probably knew exactly who she was. And like, oh, this is, look at this. They're bringing her back. Yeah. I remember her from TOS, but I didn't have that point of reference.
No.
So just, she just annoyed me. Yeah. You know, I feel like I would have felt better about it had I known that she was this, this throwover from the old series. That would have been cool.
Yeah, I was all welcome back. Yay.
Yeah, and then you went, oh, this isn't very good. all right. There you go. There's your answer, and you've done it. 100% so far this week with one day under our belts. Tomorrow we'll try it again. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter, and This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, as well as the Grumpy Cast. Daryl will now play a game with us called, is it still spiders? What are we doing?
No, Star Trek fruit or actual fruit.
Ooh, actual fruit. okay. All right. Here's your theme.
Woo-hoo.
All right, that's another brand. All right, go.
Moba fruit.
Moba fruit.
That's my...
I think this is... I want to say this was on Deep Space Nine.
When I sit around playing too much Dota 2, I get a bad case of moba fruit down in my crotch, if you know what I'm saying. Moba fruit? It's got it. That doesn't sound like real fruit, does it?
No, I think that I want to say that's even from Deep Space Nine. That sounds very recently familiar to me.
Okay, we'll say Star Trek, maybe even Deep Space Nine. What do you say, Daryl?
Oh, it sounds familiar too, does it?
Yeah.
Well, that's good because it's native to Bajor and it is Deep Space Nine.
Aww,
yay!
Bajoran fruit, ribbed for your pleasure.
The banana's got like a little ridge, little bumps on one end of it.
I assume everything in Bajoran culture and life has little bumps on it.
Sure.
Yeah. Isn't that the way it should go? It should go that way.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
Brought to you by Lantern Forge. Now only $7.99 on Steam this week. Lantern Forge. It's an indie-developed sandbox survival adventure RPG. Lantern Forge. Check it out on Steam today.
Yeah, dude, you're into it, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's their fourth one. I'm letting go out with a bang. By the way, big congratulations going out to Revan Geek.
Oh, what happened?
Birth of Jonah Neville Haddix.
Baby?
Born... baby. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. 10 pounds, 1 ounce, 40 centimeters.
Wait, give me the full name. Neville what?
Haddix. Jonah Haddix.
Jonah. Okay, here, I have a prediction.
Okay.
That child will be referred to as Jonah his entire life, because nobody's going to call that kid Neville.
Well, right? His middle name is Neville, so.
Oh, it's the other way around.
Won't. Yeah, yeah.
It's Jonah, okay, yeah, Neville, Jonah works. Yeah. Yeah. Neville by itself, though, you're just asking for trouble. I wouldn't, you can't name your kid Neville. That's all I'm saying. Oh, unless you're Aaron Neville.
Neville Longbottom. Sure.
Yeah, Neville Longbottom. Is there another?
That
guy's the worst. Did nobody in his did his agent ever go, hey, dude, you know, we really ought to get that mole. We should get
that looked at.
Yeah, because get like that. We can't have that.
Seventh Neville brother actually living in there.
Yeah, and, it's like Wendy's weird ovary she had taken out. Did I ever tell you about that? I did, when they had the teeth and the eyes and stuff in it. Did I tell you about that? Yeah. So Wendy, when she was 7 or 8, had emergency surgery to remove one of her ovaries because it had a huge growth on it. And it turns out it was the beginnings that never quite held or took, but it was the beginnings of a twin.
Like a twin? Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it had teeth and hair in it. I said eyes. It doesn't have an eye. But it was like a mad ball in there, I used to tell her. Anyway.
A mad ball.
Yeah, you remember those?
I totally remember those. And that's like, now that you describe it like that, it's like, okay, yeah, that.
Like a creepy little creature that was growing inside Wendy. She didn't get to keep it, though. Check this out. This would freak me out. 6,000 venomous brown recluse spiders infested a Missouri couple's home.
Oh, God.
6,000.
Oh, and those are like the ones where if they bite you, your flesh just starts eating away.
Yeah, they're bad. They're very bad spiders. I've seen one. I saw one in Arizona once. I've never been bitten, but I saw one. Mm-hmm. The Torsts is the name of the family. This Missouri couple is facing a web of legal troubles.
Well, and that makes me guess that this is perhaps a Huffington Post article.
You'd be dead right, right.
Yeah.
You'd be dead right, right. Their home was infested with an estimated 6,000 venomous spiders. The tourists bought their Weldon Home Spring Country Club home, whatever, which overlooks a golf course in October of 07. But they haven't been able to live in the house for years because of this massive infestation of these brown spiders. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch, is that a familiar paper to you from your paper days?
I remember it being, I don't think it was a customer, but I remember it being one they were always trying to land. Like the sales folks were always, we're going to go try the Post-Dispatch again. So yeah, I'm familiar.
That's funny. I love that you just kept hearing about all these paper names. Yes. You're such a paper man. I love it. They report that
half of them are gone these days.
That's true. Yeah. Susan Torst noticed the spiders shortly after her husband bought the house. How would you not? There's 6,000 of them.
Right.
She saw webs every day. They were in mini blinds, all the air registers, the pantry ceiling, the fireplace. Their exoskeletons were falling from light cans. Once when she was showering, she dodged a spider as it fell from the ceiling and washed down the drain.
God.
How big is your drain? Those are big spiders.
You're gonna nuke it from space. Ugh. It's the only way to be sure.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd do. I'd get the hell out of there is what I'd do.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
No.
I don't even like harmless little dumb spiders. I don't even like dragonflies or
And this is
mobs.
Coming right off of your little spider bite, which I assume is just completely gone now,
yeah,
right?
I'm pretty good. If you look real close, you can kind of see, you know, it looks like a little blemish or something. But and it's kind of still kind of a little hard knot right there. Mm. But it's not infected or, you know, spreading or red anymore or any of that. So I think I'm good. I think I dodged that bullet.
Yeah, no kidding. now we get the unleashed torrent of spider animated gifs from Irony Man.
What a shock. What a shock.
The tadpoles. And they all pop up on my screen. Like all the videos pop up on my screen. So
let me take a look at here, one of these. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this.
No.
I'm not a fan of any of these. These are all freaking me out. Ooh. Hold on, TVZ gone put one in that says something. Oh, that's pretty funny.
That's a much better one, actually. Yeah,
that's pretty good. All right, well, thank you for those, Irony Man. Oh, geez. Oh, geez.
That's the shower spider deal.
Yeah, I can't look at any of these anymore. Thanks a lot. I hate spiders. They're terrible. And Carter still wants me to save them all, but I refuse
what?
To do
really?
It. Yeah, she's a freaking hippie, dude. She wants me to save every spider I see, scoop it up with a piece of paper, and take it outside. No.
My neighbor would, she picks up, my crazy neighbor's wife picks up spiders and just takes them outside and throws them away. Like, with her bare hands.
With her hand? Does she have any care for what kind of spider it is? She's just not worried about that?
She just picks it up. And she's like, oh, spider. She picks it up and takes it out the back door and then puts it outside.
That's
like,
nuts.
Oh.
That's nuts.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
We don't do that. That is not, you know, once you cross the line and enter our home, yeah. You are, I'm sorry, you are. We're gonna go Columbus on your ass.
Enemy territory. Yeah, you're gonna go all native indigenous people today.
Indigenous people on your ass.
Yeah. Doctors have removed. Here's some more news for you. Doctors have removed a football-sized tumor from a 17-year-old's face.
Oh man! Ow!
She operated on my face. For the past 10 years, Grace, age 17, so she was 7 at the time when it started, in the Dominican Republic of Congo, has suffered from a large...
Democratic. You're mixing two different countries.
What did I say? The Democratic...
Dominican Republic of Congo.
Whoops. it's the chai tea talking here. Yes, Democratic Republic of Congo. Sure. Although I hear it's not very democratic, but whatever. What do I know?
Just go to Congo. Just say, you know, just call it Congo.
Here you go. Quote, it started as a little swelling inside of my gums and started growing little by little, she said in the clip of TLC's UK Body Bazaar above. TLC, like,
yeah,
don't
channel.
Go chasing waterfall. We want to. That
want
was,
no scrubs. A scrub is a guy who can't get no love from me. I've got an eye patch and the other one's got weird orange hair.
I don't remember them at all.
No, that was exactly right. Those are the words?
Okay. Yeah, let's see. We went to the hospital and they didn't know what it was. They did nothing. The tumor eventually increased to the size of a football. Grace felt sick and stayed indoors to avoid being stared at by others. I mean, look at that photo, dude. Just click on that link.
Do I want to?
Yeah. They had to get it because they're afraid it'll eventually suffocate her. Because look.
Yeah.
Good gosh.
Something like that is... It's amazing that they waited... Oh, my God.
I know.
Why did they wait that long?
Because the Congo sucks. Because they don't know what they're doing with medical things, is my guess. It has to be. If that girl was in Canada or the States or the UK someplace or Australia or somewhere, I guarantee that it had done something before now.
Could they have removed it maybe when it was a golf ball sized tumor or
You'd think it's. These are not. It's not a cancerous tumor, but it's a.
Just looks so.
It's almost the size of her head.
It is, yeah. I mean, how do you wait that long?
And look, underneath all that, normal girl.
Yeah.
Look at her. Yeah. She's nice. Take that out. Take it off. You dummies. Anyway.
Jeez.
There's a hospital.
Oh, that'll go away. That'll probably go away. You know, we'll give it another 10 years. Maybe it'll go away.
So check this out. Thanks to the floating hospital called Africa Mercy. It's one of a group of these ships. They're mercy ships that travel around the world performing medical procedures for those who can't do it.
Visualizing BioShock Infinite.
Oh, weird! Like floating
hospital, like a floating hospital. Oh, yes.
That'd be badass, wouldn't it?
Would be badass.
With those weird twins in there telling you stuff.
Right, and there'd be a barbershop quartet on the outside singing "God Only Knows."
Yeah, brilliant. I love that game. You know what? It's funny because after playing it, I never want to play it again. But I can't wait to feel that again because it's a great, it's kind of a pedestrian shooter, but the world in that game is so cool.
All right.
Anyway, doctors performed a 4-hour operation on Grace that involved removing the tumor and replacing her lower jaw with a titanium plate, leaving her situation immeasurably improved. That's according to the HuffPo UK, who likes to put lines like
web have a picture of how she, or Irony Man just posted a picture of how she is now. She looks great.
Well, let's take a look here.
Probably super relieved, like.
Let's take a look at here. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so much better.
Yeah, exactly.
And she looks like a real sweetheart. So I hope that worked out for her. All right. HelloFresh.com, sponsoring today's program. You might be familiar with their work. They do great stuff. In fact, they make food that you want to eat. And they make not just food. Like, it's not like a burger or something. It's not like what's the crispy wrap burrito thing that I got at Taco Bell a while ago?
Crunchwrap Supreme.
You're not going to get that at HelloFresh. You're going to get something amazing at HelloFresh. So I just want to be clear about what kind of food this is.
it's no Taco Bell, people.
No, it's not, in a good way. Every week, their chefs create great recipes. You pick what you like, and those farm fresh ingredients are sent to your door, and you make the meal in 30 minutes or less. Visit HelloFresh.com. And see if they deliver to you. And if you're in the States, I guarantee they do now because they used to have limited places where they would. Now they don't. Now it's all over the freaking place. The code is MorningStream at checkout for first-time customers. That's 50% off your order at HelloFresh.com. I recommend it highly.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
by Kephas on YouTube, a YouTube channel about a legally blind gamer and his misadventures in World of Warcraft and the occasional other random game. Just search for The Kephas, that's T-H-E-K-E-P-H-A-S, on YouTube to learn more.
I'm going to watch that. I'm curious.
Kephas legally blind?
That's my understanding.
I didn't know that. Wow.
I didn't either. But I want to see how the game stuff goes.
Yeah, right.
I'd be very curious. SNL scored its worst ratings of all time last weekend, Saturday. This is bad. They are the worst in the history of the show. That says a lot.
I can see why.
It's not going well. Bill Hader hosted, and that wasn't even enough to make it better. Although maybe it made it better than it would have been. Bill Hader, top five dead or alive Saturday Night Live cast member, returned to host last night. But guess what? You didn't watch, you ungrateful member of the highly important 18 to 49-year-old demographic. Deadline reports that the episode tied for the show's worst ratings of all time with that demographic, a record previously set last season with Charlize Theron hosting. Mm. It scored a 3.8 out of 9 in metered markets households. That's not good. That's the whole Nielsen thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just bad? I mean...
Yeah, there's no... Right now, there's...
rebuilding years is what we're in again?
Well, we call it that, right? Mm-hmm. Every time we're... You know, the way you always defend it is, it's a rebuilding year. Yeah. But they're really... You know, Taron Killam is underused right now. Kate McKinnon right now is underused. It feels like there's no standout right now. There's no Kristen Wiig. There's no...
Yeah.
You go through these periods where you've got... one or two people that they use for everything. And right now they're just not, There isn't one of those. There isn't somebody like that. Weekend Update, they've got a new anchor in there with Colin Jost, who I like, who's still finding his style, finding his method, his rhythm in reading the news. Yeah. It's still a little, you know, gappy, and he hasn't got the right cadence to do the newscasting thing.
Yeah.
Of course, Bill Hader being on, they had to do a Stefan bit.
Yeah, of course.
But those were best when Seth Meyers was on there being the foil, because you kind of had to have the two of them.
Sure. And it becomes painfully clear when you've got the wrong combo with, right, with a thing that used to work and doesn't work now, kind of thing.
Right.
I love Bill Hader, but here's the deal. I think that we might be seeing... Okay, bear with me here.
Yeah.
I know this sounds crazy. I think we might be seeing the beginning of the end of SNL.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem weird, though. Like, it, you know,
part
that,
of it,
that show has seemed to always...
That always bounce back, right?
Always bounce back. Like, you look at the Ebersol years, mm-hmm, the years where Lorne Michaels was not involved at all.
Yeah.
And they managed to come back from that. So you'd think they could come back from it again.
You'd think.
The guy who does the AT&T commercials with the kids.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. He's getting used more and more, and he's really good. It's like they just don't have anybody who is you're guaranteed,
mm-hmm,
this guy will make every sketch he's in better.
Well, I have a theory about this.
He or she.
Here's my theory. They usually tap 20-somethings,
mm-hmm,
early 30-somethings, usually. That's the typical demographic, right? I'm not so sure there's a great batch of new funny people entering their mid-20s and early 30s. And I know that seems like a blanket statement with zero to back it up. And you'd be right, because I have nothing to back it up. It's just a feeling I have that there is a generation of people coming up where funny to them is a selfie where they're making a duck face.
Right.
And that's it. I don't know that there are any really innovative, creative... Well, obviously there are. We got a bigger bunch to choose from, but I just think on the whole, that's going to be a harder fight to find them and then, mm-hmm, have them break out on the show. It's, mm-hmm, riskier, and I'm not sure the show can live forever with that new possible reality. I know it's very blankety. You're all going to say this. When we get emails about it, that's fine. And it's not me just going all old man on this. I just get the feeling that, you know, you're not going to be able to tap into some guy's Vine account for...
Well, there is a new kid on there. Like, and he's a young kid. A kid named Pete Davidson. Just started this year. And he's showing promise. Like, he's kind of the nerdy Matthew Broderick, Jewish, you know, very nebbish, I guess is the term. But he's a young kid. I mean, here's a kid who really did just come out of college and land right into one of the coveted frontrunner spots on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 years old. So he can't even drink yet, and he's on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And but he's actually really funny. He's like definitely showing some promise.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not, they're out there. They're for sure out there. There's no question.
Yeah.
People are like, well, all I got to do is watch some stand-up comedians. Yeah, there's some good stand-up. But I also think some of the up-and-coming stand-up kind of sucks. And again,
it's just my opinion.
I'm being blankety. No, but
it's a lot of that same kind of comedy that's like the kind of stuff you see on YouTube where it's deliver a joke and then you sit there and pause with a dumb face, you know, straight face.
Yeah, it's weird. It's ironic. Everything's ironic.
Or the quick cuts. Yeah. Oh, everybody loves the quick cuts.
Everyone
on
loves
YouTube.
The quick cuts on YouTube. That's the way to edit your videos now. I don't know, man. We'll see.
I don't know. Pull in more Kate McKinnon. She's brilliant. More Taryn Killam.
Yeah.
Beck Bennett, Kyle Mooney, those two.
Sure. These are all names and it's not really fair for me to judge because I haven't seen the show in forever.
Sure.
So I don't even know these names.
The things that really do seem to stand out well on those show are the digital shorts, the stuff that's produced outside of the show. Mm-hmm.
See, and that's bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, right. Right, because that takes out the whole live.
Yeah, because that's a thing you could do, you know, and not need the show to do that, to do them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they've always, I mean, I would even argue back in the old days, like Phil Hartman days, some of the best stuff they ever did were things that were shot outside of the show. commercials or whatever. Colon Blow cereal. Remember that? That was pretty good. But they, you know, they've always, you know, they always bounce back, like you say. Maybe they will. I don't know.
I mean, but again, you know, you look down the list of like who they just lost, like Fred Armisen, Will Forte, Seth Meyers, Bill Hader, Jason Sudeikis, you know, all these greats. And there's nobody besides, you know, a couple people I mentioned, nobody that's really jumping up to the forefront.
And all those people you mentioned are like 38 to 48.
Right, like, right.
Nobody's
past
their, 20.
Past their SNL prime.
Yeah,
right?
Nobody's in their 20s. It's just, oh, God. There's something going on.
Anyway.
Archer, there's a cartoon there, Archer.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
They're dumping.
That, the, that stars Lucky Yates and.
And what's her name?
Anyway. And what's her name? Not Aisha Tyler. Oh, my God. How can I forget her name? She did the video for me for Nerdtacular.
The Nerdtacular people. Those guys. Yes. Anyway, they're. They're dumping the ISIS name. So,
That's good.
Yeah, it's probably good. Yes. Producers behind the cult animated series Archer are changing the name of the show's fictional spy agency to distance itself from the terrorist group ISIS. The adult TV series centers on the adventures of a title character and his fellow colleagues at ISIS, International Secret Intelligence Service. But creator Adam Reed reveals he'll be tweaking the title of the global espionage organization on an upcoming season 6 episode in light of the recent hostage beheadings and other violent actions in the of the midlife militant group Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, commonly known as ISIS. Executive producer Matt Thompson told the Daily Beast, ISIS is the most awful thing and we don't want to have anything to do with it. The name change will be incorporated into a storyline in season 6, which airs in the U.S. in January on the 15th. So watch for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it'll be a funny thing they'll do. They'll do something funny with changing the name, and that's all right. Good to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like all those people who named their child Adolf in 1938.
Oh, gosh. Big mistake, guys. Big mistake.
Right. You're going to be Sam from
now on. Yeah, you're Sam, buddy. Squarespace.com is sponsoring today's show. If you need to make a website, and I know you do, you don't want to have to know everything about how to make websites from scratch. That's no good. You don't want to have to hire and pay somebody ridiculous amounts of money to do that either. What you want to do is go to squarespace.com and have all the tools you need to make a fantastic website in very little time. Better yet, go get a free trial, 14 days, absolutely free, without using a credit card. That's my favorite part of that, because that means they trust you're going to like it without them coercing you into keeping your freaking money. And if you do like it, then great. I got a deal for you. Morning at checkout, 10% off your account. Morning is the code. M-O-R-N-I-G. You know, morning. I didn't have to spell it. It's just an easy word.
But you spelled it wrong. But
what
that's
I say?
Right.
And what I say?
M-O-R-N-I-G.
Oh, whoops. M-O-R-N-I-N-G. There you go. Morning.
The morning stream.
The morning stream. Anyway, it's at squarespace.com, and we love these guys. I love the responsive design stuff where your phone, your tablet, and your desktop all look great no matter what you do with that cool template you picked. Go check them out today. That's squarespace.com and the code morning at checkout. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have major spoilers here. We'll have Veronica here and we'll have your emails. Before all that, Brian has your back with music.
We do. I do. Corey wrote in, said, my wife Teresa's birthday is Sunday, October 12th, and I'd love to have a song played on TMS for her. One of our absolute favorite bands is We the Ghost from Tulsa, Oklahoma. They are amazing musicians, supremely nice people, and we consider them great friends. They perform a cover of Straight Up by Paula Abdul that we both love. Thanks. Signed, Corey, a.k.a. Marvin Skeleton, when you see him in the tadpole.
All right.
This is great, and this is... this is a fun rendition of the song. Changes it up. You know how I like that?
Yep.
This is something they recorded and put on their Bandcamp site for a very short time. Actually, you can still hear it on there, but you can't download it anymore. So big thanks again to Corey for hooking me up and getting me a copy from the band. This is their cover of Paula Abdul's Straight Up, performed here by We the Ghost. And it's coming to you right now.
All right. Here you go. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
And lost in a dream, I don't know which way to go. And if you are all that you say, then baby I'm moving way too slow. Well, I
I've been a fool before. Wouldn't like to get my heart caught in those. Let me know, how about some information, please? Straight up now, tell me, do you really wanna know me forever? Oh, 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 am I caught in a hit and run? Straight up now, tell me, is it gonna be you and me together? Oh, 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 while we just have them.
This Halloween, Toys R Us is your Halloween headquarters. You'll find every trick or treat under the moon. A monstrous selection of costumes and a dungeon full of decorations. At prices so low, you'll howl. So this Halloween, bring the entire family to Toys R Us for a Halloween selection so huge, it's scary.
Look, look, look. Look for a second.
The Morning Stream. Rambling goes in, podcast comes out. You can't explain that.
Okay, we're back. That was an awesome version of that
song.
Wasn't
that great? Yeah.
And I normally am not a fan of that song. Like, I kind of hate the whole Paula Abdul era. And that's a great way to take it out of that era and still have it be nostalgic at the same time and then be kind of cool and updated. That was awesome. Loved it.
Oh, glad you enjoyed it.
I loved it. All right. It's time to call Steven Schleicher and do the Monday morning thing with him because that's what we do. He's a friendly fellow with a happy face and a lot to say about a lot of things. Here's his thing. Steven Schleicher, welcome to the program, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Welcome to the hoedown.
Yeah, welcome to the hoedown. Boy. It's good to have you back. I don't know why. Thanks. Well, you're in Kansas, so why not?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, real quick comment. Real quick comment about your Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
What if we see the end of Saturday Night Live on television, but we don't see the end of it online?
Oh,
if you think about it, 1.7 rating is like 1.5 million people that have watched the show.
Yeah.
If you look at like people like Key and Peele, they have like 2 million views just on a brand new episode that aired 3 days ago. If they took, if NBC took all of those segments that they would normally do and broadcast them and put them up on a YouTube channel, and they do have a Saturday Night Live YouTube channel, but it looks like they've locked down all of the stats for it. They could probably make more money from a YouTube investment and do original programming there like they do with College Humor. Well, not NBC doesn't do it, but like College Humor does, and probably make a crap ton more money and reach more people.
Well, all right. So here's the only thing I would say to that. PewDiePie is YouTube's biggest subscriber base. Of all time. 31 million people subscribe to his channel. He pulls down from that $4 million a year in ad revenue. I don't think that's enough for SNL. I don't think that pays even Lorne Michaels' phone bill. You know what I mean? Like, if they're gonna do that, they would have to go. They'd have to go further than just ad revenue sharing with YouTube. It would have to be something else, you know?
They could certainly pull in a lot of sponsors just for their show.
Yeah.
And run a lot of stuff that way. Even I don't know, College Humor is ranked up in the top 2,000 websites of the world.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of money that they're bringing in.
Sure.
But they seem to have a pretty good budget for the stuff that they do, and they're not paying people a weekly salary.
That's true. So Funny or Die, same boat. They're... Yeah. In fact, a lot of SNL alumni end up doing things over
That's
there.
That's kind of what it would be like. Right. It'd basically be a competitor to Funny or Die and College Humor.
No,
I think it would be enormous. But it would be different in that they would probably focus on the kind of digital shorts type of content. They wouldn't be sort of live sketches anymore.
No, they couldn't do that.
And at some point, would that be weird because SNL's, their entire legacy is based on this idea that we're doing this live show on a Saturday and people are in studio or whatever. I think you could pull it off because you could come up with the ideas with that, you know?
Yeah.
Like you could do.
But just think if they had, let's just say 3 million, 4 million people watching on a YouTube channel, that's more than what's watching live.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. You're going to have a bigger reach. I just don't know if you have the same.
Like, I don't know.
The ad model is so different, you know?
I like the canned stuff from Saturday Night Live better than I like the live stuff.
Yeah,
so, you know,
it seems to be where they're able to hit it on all cylinders, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
Well, it'll be interesting.
Just a thought.
If nothing else, it would force them to up their game. They couldn't do the thing where they write a sketch that has a really funny premise, but no 1-2 punch delivery at the end. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, all right, we've got a sketch about people at a ventriloquist camp or a puppet camp. And it's really funny because one of the guys is an old war veteran who's, you know, reliving his days with Charlie coming over the hill and whatever. That's really, really funny. Okay, let's move on to the next sketch instead of. And it could end with such and such. And if they want it to go viral, if they want it to get shared and people discover it online, then it's gotta finish well.
Imagine Monty Python in their prime and doing a YouTube channel. It'd be the most amazing thing in the world.
That would have been, Oh my God, some of that stuff would have just been shared all over the place.
It'd be a perfect format for it. Their playlist would just be like watching a Flying Circus episode. It would just be insane. Yeah. Anyway, I don't think it's a terrible idea. I mean, I just think that the writing's on the wall, though, that eventually, culturally, things shift and people are, you know, do people really care that much about SNL anymore? Who's actually watching it? Are we aging out of it, those who really care? That's what I think may be happening is... Right.
And it seems to have fallen out of the whole improv roots that it came from.
Well, going back to what I said, you know, the Saturday Night Live getting a 1.7 share is like 1.5 million, 2 million people. Kenan and Peele's show on Comedy Central has a 0.7 rating, yet they have 2 million people watching each of their videos on the Comedy Central YouTube channel.
So viewers
are shifting their attention away from cable. Scott, you know that. You're a cable cutter.
Sure.
Cord cutter.
Sure.
And moving online. So it makes sense to change the way that they do business.
Well, and it's funny because I was just saying to Brian how I don't know any of these names of these cast members he's bringing up because I don't watch that show anymore because I'm a cord cutter. It's just not as convenient for me. I know there's stuff on Hulu and stuff, but it would be much more interesting to me if you said, they got a YouTube channel and it's this stuff you can count on every week or whatever, and it's not just clips from the TV version. I would be all up in that.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and people would, and the funny stuff would get, would rise to the top. And so when you're saying, all right, I'd like to watch half an hour of Saturday Night Live, you'd get the cream of the crop as opposed to wading through an hour and a half of
But do you think Lauren Michaels is sitting around going, now, what is this internet everyone is talking about?
Yeah, quite possible.
Yeah, that's the problem. All right. Hey, it's good to have you back, Stephen. And well,
thank you.
I am so excited about this top story about Guardians of the Galaxy getting animated on Disney Channel, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's probably where it's going to debut. We know it's coming in 2015. We saw some test footage over at the New York Comic Con this past weekend at the Javits Center, and it does look really awesome. It kind of has a manga anime feel to it. The interesting thing, though, is that there are online, and I forget what channel it is. My son's been watching them for a while. They already have some Guardians of the Galaxy animated shorts online that people can go and see. But they're, you know, really buried deep down. But they've only come out recently, so they're worth checking out. Now, that has nothing to do with this animated series. Yeah. This animated series looks really cool.
They seem to they do that thing that I've noticed, which is there's just enough of a movie influence on the art to say, I'm familiar with this because I've seen the movie. But then there's also like kind of a generalized simplification of Groot going on that you see in animation for TV, because they aren't going to go crazy with, you know, too much detail on a big tree. But then there's also some stylization in there. You said it looks very anime. I would agree, a lot of it anyway. But I'm totally fine with that. The only problem I have is Marvel is not known for nailing the animated side of their work.
Yeah,
It really varies, because some of their stuff is really good. If you've ever watched the Avengers cartoon show, the Earth's Mightiest Superheroes, that was a really good series. But then they just don't follow through and carry it through. So it seems like every season you're getting a new take on the Spider-Man animated series, or you're getting a new take on Avengers, or you're getting whatever take, and they just don't carry through with it. But I know it's super popular because my kids sit around and watch them all the time.
Yeah, people like them.
I think they just need to. I think they just need to keep pushing forward with them.
Yeah, I would like to. Go ahead, Brian.
Do you think they need to go more fan service? Like that's what I remember most from the X-Men, the 90s X-Men cartoon series, is they're pulling out characters like, you know, Nimrod and Bastion and all these great, like, way low on the tier. It's not just let's fight Magneto every week.
Right.
And I think that's what they seem to do with, like, the Spider-Man, recent Spider-Man cartoons that they've done.
Yeah, sure. The Ultimate Spider-Man one does that a lot with what they're doing. It's called Web Warriors or whatever it is, the series right now, where they've got some really low-key characters. But to be honest, when Earth's Mightiest Heroes was running, that had a huge continuity from episode to episode, and things were going really deep into Marvel history, and it was really, really good. Now, granted, it was deviated a bit from the comic books, but it's still, from episode to episode, you could see these ties coming in, and they were introducing Kree Skrull War, and they were introducing there was this one episode that and I think it was the last episode where Carol Danvers wakes up in the hospital and she's floating. She's like, guys, what does this mean? And then boom, you never saw Ms. Marvel appear in the comic or in the TV show after that. The other one that my oldest really enjoyed a few years ago was the, what was it called? The Mason, what was that called with the little squinky guys of your Marvel superheroes with Stan Lee and everything? Do you remember what that show was?
It's on now. Isn't it on now? What am I thinking?
No, it's over, but it was like...
I'm thinking of the web... There's a web series.
There's a Spider-Man one.
You're thinking of Web Slingers, but somebody in the chat room will mention it out. But
yeah, that's what I'm thinking
of. It's the one that was... They were really cartoonified versions of the Marvel characters, and it was just every single character you could imagine, good side versus bad side. They were living in Superhero City, and it was cool to see what characters they were bringing up week after week after week.
Yeah.
If they somehow tied this Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy animated series into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think that would be really, really cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to do that. I don't know if they have the guts to do that with an animated series.
Well, let's see how they do. I mean, DC kind of eats their lunch on animation. It'll be funny to see if they can pull that out.
This definitely has more of a Teen Titans feel, like the good Teen Titans cartoon from a few years ago.
Yeah, which I'm down with. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Superhero Squad is the TV show that we're thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
That's really, it's really weird, but just take an hour and watch a couple episodes.
All right. And where can you get it? Where's that available?
It's on Netflix. It's online.
Oh, I'll watch that. So we got our first official photo of Daredevil.
Yeah.
That's a terrible photo of Daredevil. I mean, him in the glasses and his suit's fine, but him out there on the roof, what the hell am I even looking at? What's going on there?
Well, so it's a black costume, and he basically has a hood pulled down over his eyes, like a ninja mask.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
Pulled down. I do like that. And we have seen that before in the past. I'm forgetting which series it is. Maybe it was a Frank Miller series where he was kind of Daredevil Reborn or something, where he kind of ran with that look. But I think people are really upset that it's an all-black costume.
They want it to be that maroon red.
I remember a black costume recently, like within the last 15 years, an all-black Daredevil costume.
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with them trying to modern it up. It's like people having trouble with Batman's suit having too much armor or something. It's like, we're going to have to make these things look good for movies and TV, so it's not that big of a bother to me.
A couple of people have said that this is a temporary costume, that as the character is building, he will change it over to red leather or whatever. I'm okay with this. I think that there have to be some concessions made. And certainly if you are a hero running around at night, you don't want to be a big red target that everyone can see. Of course, he doesn't see what color he's wearing.
So. Yeah. I mean, everybody's loving Arrow right now, but hey, go back and read the Green Arrow comics, everybody, and tell me how close that outfit is now to this. It's not even close, not even remotely close. So I don't really have a problem with that. My bigger problem is that photo needs the gamma turned up. It's like, you can't tell what the hell is going on. It's super low rent looking to me, and I wish that was more cool, but whatever. I mean, I can't get that picky. But he looks like a fine Matt Murdock. I'm not going to complain.
Oh, yeah. And we got to see pictures now. I haven't seen the pictures of Kingpin with Vincent D'Onofrio doing that.
That's what I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Yeah. I cannot wait for this series to kick off, and next year cannot get here fast enough.
Charlie Cox. What do I know him from? I'm looking him up now. I know him from, Stardust. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. He's a, I know this guy. All right, good. There you have it. All right. Also, Boardwalk Empire is great on there. All right. What are we doing here next? Let's talk about powers. Okay, so this PlayStation deal, they got a trailer out now, right?
It looks really good. I mean, it looks like they are basically done with all principal photography based on the trailer that we've seen. Obviously, this is following the Who Killed Retro Girl series, because Retro Girl does appear in this.
Yeah.
And if no one has ever read the Brian Michael Bendis, Michael A. Von Oeming Powers series, now's a good time to pick up the first volume, because it is really, really good. Who Killed Retro Girl is the name of that trade. And they're turning it into a video series, TV series, for the PlayStation Network. And we got to see the first trailer this weekend at New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
It looks pretty intense, and they're not holding back on some of the language and possibly some of the violence as well.
Yeah.
I think there's some building going on that's going to lead up to possibly a second season if they do well, and if it gets a lot of attention on the PlayStation Network. Problem is, it's on the PlayStation Network.
Well, that's only a problem if you don't have it. And they're, obviously they're not going to have the base, the subscriber base of something like Netflix or something. But I think it's there are at least 10 million people with PlayStation 4s, for example.
Right.
Not even counting your PS3s, your Vita players, who are, to play on there, and also it's a really good value. Having the PlayStation or the PSN subscription is kind of a must these days.
Right.
So I actually think it's not too bad. I mean, you have the potential for, let's say, 4 or 5 million viewers per episode.
Yeah, I think you do. And huge. I think that's really good. And considering looping it back around to what we were talking about before, there is the potential that this could be a larger audience than what Saturday Night Live is getting right now. The question, though, is will this actually boost any sales of the system?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big question. Is this going to be so good that people would drop $300+ plus the $49.95 or whatever it is per year to get the subscription to go out and see this? Or are they just going to wait for it to be pirated or show up later on Netflix or Hulu or iTunes?
That's a really good point, because if this, because if the question is, hey, I already have PSN and I'm already paying for it and I'm doing it because I love video games and I'm playing a lot. Oh, and this thing is this awesome thing on top of that. I don't have to pay any extra. Yeah. I can get powers. That's a great value proposition. But there's a whole other section that's like, well, I'm not subscribing to that, and you're telling me I have to do $8 a month just to see one show that you got on there that's an original whatever? No thanks, I feel like there's going to be a real split there.
Yeah, I guess that's the real problem. And then, of course, you've got the other issue of this is debuting in the winter.
Yeah.
Okay, they haven't defined what year yet. We've known that this was supposed to come out around November, December. And we don't know how they're releasing it, if they're going to release it one at a time, once a week, or if they're going to release the entire series all at once. But the problem is going to be everybody who bought a PS4 last year, their network renewal is going to come up. And so if people go out and buy the system to get it, then they run the risk of hitting that renewal just a couple of months later.
Well, but also this holiday will probably be big for PlayStation, new people. So, you know, I don't know. I'm really glad it's being made.
So am I.
And this will end up on DVD and other stuff. I guarantee you that.
Yes.
But for now, I guess this is more like, hey, you want to be an early adopter? Here's where you get that.
Yeah, there's a little while to get obviously all sorts of great things that can come out of this. I'm sad, and I'm pretty sure didn't the Halo series get canceled over?
Yeah, that all got canceled.
Microsoft.
Well, something's still in the works, but I don't think it's anywhere near the what they were going to do because they closed that whole studio thing.
Yeah, which is a shame because I think that they're, you know, all the negatives aside of having to go to a specific set-top box to get your content.
Yeah.
I think the idea of a Halo series and the Power series and doing it through these networks is great.
I agree.
Really, really great.
I agree. It's a very interesting play. Yeah. I mean, Microsoft, I would not count them out. I give them a couple of years. Their install base just sucks right now. They can't do it. They can't justify it on the Xbox One. They could have if they were selling the numbers the PlayStation is right now, but they're just not. Mm-hmm. So to keep that studio afloat was a very expensive proposition, and Satya Nadella right now is like in the mood to shut shit down.
Yeah.
which is
too bad because they can afford to do it. That's the problem.
Yeah. I think I said his name right. Those at home who think I did it wrong. this and so much more always available for your perusing and your eyeballs if you go to majorspoilers.com. Anything else happening in and around your world that people should know about?
Well, the costume contest has just closed. All the entries are in. Yeah. We will be showing off the winners or the contestants later this week. Next week, we will show the finalists and voting will be open for that. So we hope that everybody goes over there and votes for who they think should win this year's costume contest.
Great.
So more information on that coming up.
I love that your contest. It's always so much fun to watch. So,
holy crap. You should see some of these entries.
I'll bet. And some of the best stuff comes in last second, doesn't it?
There's one that literally came in an hour before we closed.
That's great. Great. Major Spoilers on Twitter, majorspoilers.com. Steven Schleicher, thanks so much.
See you guys later.
See you tomorrow, Steven. I guess, on Comic Dorks. All right. We got a Comic Dorks tomorrow.
Cool.
Yeah, right? That's what
always
I'm saying, man.
Time.
Oh, what was the new video game? What was the clip I was going to play when V comes on? Do you remember what it was? It was something goofy?
Yeah, what's his face from Bloodsport saying, aren't you too old for video games?
Oh, that's right. All right.
Or it's Jean-Claude Van Damme saying it, not Ogre.
Too old for video games. I got to find it.
What kind of a deal?
What kind of a deal? Go for the gut. No.
Aren't you a little?
Yep, there it is. All right. I just want to have it ready.
Perfect.
Because, you know, we don't want to keep the poor lady waiting. All right. Let's get her in here. Let's get Veronica in here. Veronica Belmont, the internet's own Veronica Belmont. There she is. There she is.
Queen of video games.
Something like that, right? All right. We'll ring her up. Get this ball on the show. What? No, a show on the
what?
Road?
What?
What's the show on the ball?
Get the show on the road?
Something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't think of one with ball in it. All right. Get on the ball. But
well, here's the theme.
Aren't you a little old for video games?
Not Veronica. She is young at heart and in spirit. Veronica Belmont, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You made my favorite pun this morning on Twitter. I had said something about porn and corn only having one letter difference, but a world of difference in meaning. And she said, are all your jokes so porny, meaning corny? Get it? It's pretty good.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah,
threw it back at you.
I liked it. Hey, welcome back. It's good to have you here for what we call V for Video Games, where we come on the show on Mondays, talk a little bit about the world of video games, sometimes news, sometimes our experiences in game and whatnot. Today, dude, you've been playing Shadow of Mordor, I understand.
I was, yes.
Yeah, and your thoughts. Where are you at with this thing? Let's do like a little review between us. What do you think of that game?
I was really, really enjoying it until my husband decided he wanted to play, and now I haven't been able to get on the Xbox for the past 3 days.
Wow.
So there's that.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's, man, I just wander around the world like riling up a bunch of Uruks and getting into like a massive 50-on-1 battle and just demolishing all of them, and it's so satisfying.
So here's my question for you. When you do this, like you'll have a job to do, kill a chieftain or something, and oftentimes that will involve mowing down either slowly and methodically or all at once, you know, mm-hmm. 50 or more orcs and oryks and all these different styles of orcs that are in different levels of command and stuff, and this, therefore have different abilities and different resistances and all that stuff. What is your approach? Because there are times when I'll be, you know, I'll see a crowd of these guys and I think I'm supposed to sort of slowly pick them off, but I kind of just want to jump in and see what I can do, and I'm perhaps not skilled for it enough or whatever.
This was my problem with Assassin's Creed too, because I always ended up trying to go the stealth model and then just throwing it out the window halfway through and being like, F this, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing.
Yeah. Let's just run right up the... Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so I'm going through that same situation in this game as well, but I do really enjoy using the elf shot. I use that a lot, so I'll kind of get some more high and then pick off like six or seven of them. Usually six, because I think that's the max elf shot I have right now. Mm. And just, you know, go into that slow-mo version in Wraith mode and pick off a bunch of them and then kind of jump down and take off the rest of them.
Yeah.
But my big problem right now is I have this one chieftain who, for some reason, I haven't been able to kill. And now he's like 19 power level or something.
I just can't do it. I hate it because every time you die at his hand or in the vicinity after he's seen you, he'll rank up in power. And then sometimes within the power structure of the orc military thing and just keep ranking up in these power levels. And at some point, you can't kill him.
So, I'm not strong enough yet. Yeah.
So you have to let him go for a while, but it is so tempting to just want to go, he's just right there, dude.
He's totally in an area, too, that I need to be in right now. It's like ugly face. Yeah. I think that's which one it is. And he's stupid ugly face. And
they have great names.
So now he's so high level. So I just have to wait it out and keep powering, you know, up my abilities and that kind of stuff and getting to the point where I can actually take him out.
Well, that's what feels kind of special about the game is that I've never really felt that way before in a game where I had a true nemesis that either I beat or gets away from me like this. These guys that keep leveling up past where I can do anything for them. But it's an intense desire to find them and kill them. And I don't know that I've ever felt that way in a game, or at least in a very long time, where a very specific target was pissing me off. In fact, the only time I've ever really felt it is like multiplayer stuff,
you know,
where like, oh my gosh, dude, he has fragged me for the last time. That's it. Let's go. I got to track down this one player and take him out. And a lot of games play that up now in, you know, certain multiplayer environments. They're like, all right, so-and-so has got a kill streak and he's now your nemesis or whatever. And that's always been a sensible way to do multiplayer. But in single player, it's never really had the same kind of heft, I think, until now. And that's what I'm getting from this thing.
You know, Ryan did something that was really interesting, my husband, when he was playing that I hadn't considered, which was saving up all of my... What are those? What's that? What's the money or what do you use to buy stuff with?
It's like mithril blobs or something. Okay. It's like you get currency for finding things. And yeah.
So what I was doing was every time I got to like 140 or 170 or 200, I would just buy the next available ability. Well, he saved his up. And he just went and bought like the best sword upgrade.
Wow.
So now even though he hasn't played as long as I have, he's got this like badass sword that can take out a lot of dudes.
Yeah. Now that's a problem because I don't ever think that way. I just go,
I know.
If I've got the money, just spend it, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm actually glad he's playing the game at the same time I am because we're learning from each other in real time about like different tactics and different things to do. And I can kind of explain things to him and he can kind of show me things that he thought of outside the box that I hadn't necessarily thought of. So it's been an interesting collaborative experience.
You don't get to have those very often, I feel like, in games with people. It's either they're into it, and if they're into it, they're playing it, but you don't really get to like a single player.
This is not at all his style of
game. Yeah, exactly. He's more of a Call of Duty guy, right?
Yeah.
So that's funny.
It's been fun. I was like, stick with it, because at first he was like, oh, this is annoying. It's too many button combinations. Like, these stupid orcs are everywhere, and I'm sick. Like, I can't progress in the story because I just keep like killing orcs. I'm like, yeah, kill the orcs. It's fun. That's like the fun part.
That is the fun part. Well, is it
similar? And this, you know, I'm on the fence about picking this thing up because I have bought a lot of crap lately. But is it like an Assassin's Creed kind of thing, open world, where you're also you've got some goals of like, all right, you need to go here and get this thing.
Yeah, very much so. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, and V, add to this if you can. But I feel like the game is this weird combination of Assassin's Creed. I mean, really quite literally lifted many of the systems right out of Assassin's Creed. The ones that, you know, mm-hmm. people like, the traversal, the open worldness of it, and all that is in there. And then the other bit is the combat is very Batman Arkham, the Arkham games, combo driven. Lots of people in the same space, being able to sort of counter and block and do all these chains of moves. It feels like you're playing those Batman games.
Wow. Both right. of those games I really like.
But so then maybe... so you take those two things, which are already established and good, which I think together would have made a fun game and set it in the Lord of the Rings world, and that's cool. But I really feel like the magic here, the frosting on the cake, is this weird nemesis system that's just so hard
just
to explain.
Reading about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I enjoy running around and like avenging my friends' deaths.
Yeah.
Also, I think that's a fun little mechanic where they're like, Dan Stapleton was killed by balls on head. Oh. I don't know.
Balls on head. He's the worst.
A free one. That's yeah. right there for ice.
You know, I'll tell you what though. Like the game has some of the best naming conventions of all time. And when yeah. you see one of them and it's like balls on head and he'll snarl at you and say terrible, terrible things at you. It just gets your blood boiling. Like, you just can't wait to go out and find this guy and take him out.
Oh, especially if they've killed you before.
Yeah.
They're like, what are you doing back here? I already yeah. killed you once. And yeah. you're like, ah!
Yeah, I've had a guy who saw me three different times and said, ah, nifty trick coming back from the dead. And, you know, they say these things that feel unique to their situation. I've run into one who ran and fleed, but before he left...
Fled.
What'd I say? Fleed? Jeez, fleed. Scott. Fleed. What the hell? Fled
My
from
least
me.
Favorite member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right, fleed. He's the worst. He always fled. But anyway, so yeah, he left. And then when I saw him again, he had a huge like stitch across his face.
Oh, cool.
And claimed that you gave this to me and now I'm going to avenge my, you know, my
Oh, I wonder
wound.
If the guy who had this big open gash on his face, there was one guy whose face was like split open
mm-hmm.
and he said that I did that to him. I wonder if I actually did that to him.
I probably that, was it. Cool. Yeah. I had another guy who had an arrow to the back of the head and also fled, not fleed. and he was, he said, made some reference to, you know, it took days to get that arrow out of my back or some crazy weird thing like that. But those little touches turn what could just be another sort of, hey, we're an open world game with a bunch of objectives into something different. And now,
also, I think,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, do you think, let's put it this way. When Unity comes out, Assassin's Creed Unity, which I'm excited about, mm-hmm. I'm a little less excited though because it's not going to have something like this in it. You know?
I think it'll still be exciting. And I think this game kind of stands apart for me right now, too, because of the dialogue.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like the dialogue feels very modern. And I think that was an interesting choice for them to make in a Lord of the Rings game because they could have gone the, you know, traditional style Lord of the Rings dialogue tropey. This feels very modern, like especially Rotbag. Like he talks like a normal dude.
That guy's great. Yeah.
The dialogue is very funny.
Yeah.
And I think that adds, especially because the game is kind of grim and it's very violent.
Yeah.
Surprisingly violent. I love the executions.
Yeah.
But the dialogue keeps it kind of light and keeps it fun.
Yeah. I didn't expect the humor and I'm glad it's in there because it is an otherwise very grim scene pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, but all
you go.
I play game-wise, especially on the Xbox now, are the Assassin's Creed games, it seems like. So I'm looking forward to Unity no matter what.
Yeah.
It just means another game for me to get to play, especially because this one's so short.
This is true.
So that'll be something to look forward to.
There you have it. Veronica, there is a cool new Patreon up for Sword and Laser at patreon.com/swordandlaser people can go to. Am I correct about that?
Yes, and in fact, we hit our very first milestone. So we are composing a jingle with some very well-known songmeisters, I must say. Mm. I think a lot of your audience will know and love them.
Mm.
And I don't want to give away any hints more than that just now. but we are working on a thank you jingle. And so that'll happen within the next couple of weeks for our Patreon subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/swordandlaser if you enjoy that show and want to help us continue doing it.
Yes, please, everybody. Episodes of that can be found on the mega feed as well. And we want them to keep making that because it's rad. And that's how they can do that. So there you go. Patreon.com/swordandlaser. Veronica on Twitter. Veronica Belmont. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
See you.
All right. There you go.
Very good. Oh, so close to buying that, but I feel like I just bought Destiny. I just bought Infinity.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait. It's going to go on sale for PlayStation Plus members in a month, 2 months or something.
I don't blame you. When you finally do, though, it's a pretty neat experience. something cool. Pretty special, I think. And you can hear our good buddy Liam O'Brien as as Gollum in there. He's really good at
it. Nice.
All right. That's it for that. Let's do some emails real quick. They're brought to you by...
What is Slenderman, not Slenderman, doing in the bayou? How will virtual reality affect our future? Check out the Tidy Tonic webcomic every Friday at tidytonic.com to find out.
That sounds good. Brian wrote in. Oh. That's his name. He wrote in and says, I've been listening to the show via podcast form in 1.3x speed, so 1.3 times the normal speed for a while now. It's a strange increment, but whatever. I was trying to find a certain song in the break, so I've been listening to episodes at normal speed, and you all sound drunk. Not that there's anything wrong with that, just thought you should know. Shove the bone, the bonobo, says Brian. I still can't bring myself to listen to podcasts at higher speeds. I can't do it.
There are a couple that I can do at like 1.5 or 1.5. It's funny. I don't know one that can do 1.3. Is that Overcast?
I think Overcast does that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, love Overcast
and do chapters, so don't bother with Overcast.
I love Overcast. Overcast.
Do your Downcast so you can see the chapters in Coverville.
Does Downcast support it? I didn't know that.
It does, yeah.
You might see support for it soon. Overcast has been really good about updates and feature fixes and stuff like that, so they may put some support in there for that. But I'm in love with that app now.
Yeah, there's a couple that I can listen to at a slightly higher speed, but... there's some weird artifacting, you know, the stuff that goes on with that it has to be the right person's show to be able for me to be able to understand what they're saying.
Mm, gotcha. I know it is cool, by the way, and I know a lot of people don't like it, but if you are using iOS, the podcast app that Apple put out when they split podcasts out of the music player is now back in as part of the install. Like that's just there. You don't have... it's not a separate app anymore. So that's kind of cool. That's good for podcasting is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
To have that be just in there now. On Android, I still think your best choice is... oh, crap. What's it called? Pocket Cast. Very good app on Android. Hmm. And iOS. They have a good iOS version as well.
Oh, I haven't checked that out.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. Here is an email from Mike who says, what up, Skeezer and Bizzle?
Yo, homie.
Yeah, yo. I'm catching up on episodes this week, and TMS 692 is in my ear holes right now. You guys are discussing Drake and the state of hip-hop today, and it was one of the funniest damn segments I've ever heard. Please continue to dissect hip-hop and hip-hop culture, maybe on a weekly segment. You could call it Skeezer and B Get Jiggy, or Hippin' and Hoppin' with Skillet and B-Dog. You guys never fail to put a smile on my face. Thanks for all the laughs. Till the next episode, though, Mike. Yeah, we either got people love that because they laughed, or man, we should never talk about those things again.
Yeah, I believe it's probably more of the latter. Yeah. Like, hey, stick to stuff you know. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
it was, you know what happens rough. When we get on here and we talk about football? People feel like they have to remind me that Denver has a football team. It's like they came up last week.
Oh yeah, the Nuggets. Get it? Oh, by the way, never try to be funny on Twitter. I've learned. I got a little subtlety thing.
Yeah, there's enough people out there who don't get the. Well, sarcasm on Twitter.
And even yesterday, mine was just extra subtle, I guess, or something. But there was this, CNN had done a graphic that said giant hornets in Asia had killed a bunch of people. Mm. And remember our giant hornets? We've talked about these before.
We're talking about Africanized.
No. They're like big China hornets.
Oh, the giant. Right. The massive. Yes, right.
So then they said, here they are. And they had a big map of where they said they were in China. And it said on the map in China. But it was a map of South America. It was a big South America image. And I wrote, hey, you guys, why are you showing Africa or whatever I wrote? I knew it wasn't Africa. I thought that was a good joke to layer on another dumb thing to
sure,
say.
Sure.
But Twitter didn't believe me. Or not that. They didn't. It's not they didn't believe me. Twitter thought I had screwed up and that thought it was
wrong.
Africa.
Yes.
It's like, right. No, guys, that's the joke. I mean, whatever. Anyway, my point is don't try to be subtle on Twitter. It'll just bite you in the ass. As Terpster says. All right, great.
Yeah, people just don't get it.
Here's another one from Tom Walter, and this is to you, Brian Ibbotson.
Oh, God. Okay.
Mr. Ibbotson, why did you subject us to that horrible show-ending Hatsume Miku song on TMS episode 694? That was just mean and very unlike you. Just saying. Tom Walter, the man who is now has bleeding ears in the vampire state, which is a dangerous thing to have here. there in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
So...
Why?
Yeah.
Because somebody requested and I thought it'd be an interesting one to play.
I liked it.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird, Uncanny Valley kind of sounding. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not quite human, it's not quite machine. And if I don't know. I mean, well, obviously if somebody hadn't requested, I probably wouldn't have even known about it. Yeah. But the fact that she was just on David Letterman the night before and he had that great reaction to it, I was like, oh, this is good timing to play all this.
Yeah. And I thought that Letterman thing cracked me up to no end.
Yes.
So good.
It made okay.
It made me miss Letterman. It made me miss having right. him leave.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Coy wrote in. This is one of
Vance's
the replacements.
Brother.
Yeah. Replacements on that show. Just letting you know, I think Coy was the blonde one. Uh-huh. By the way, just letting you know, I love the show and listen to it at work. I want to thank you for playing the Dead Season cover of Thunder Rolls.
God. And the other thing that people won't stop tweeting me about. All right.
He says, and turning us on to them. I found they have another great cover called I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight. They have a great mix of metal harmony and throaty vocals. Job well done, guys. So that's a positive one there.
That is a positive one. Thank you for being a positive one, Coy.
The positive one.
And it's funny, the person who originally requested the country cover that I didn't play, and then in like a separate part of the website said, if you don't want to play that, then any Garth Brooks cover would be great. And I don't read everything out loud on the show. I'll just read the letter part. I don't often read the part that says, hey, if you don't want to play that, we also like,
whatever.
You know,
sure.
Yeah, exactly. I was just trying to come up with a funny, you know, funny, right said Fred.
There you go. Like that. That's a good one. He's the shirt, I'm too sexy for this shirt.
That's that guy. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
What's he up to? He's doing things still. Didn't he do something on TV with Conan O'Brien or somebody? Or wasn't there something going on with right said Fred?
No idea. Really?
Said Fred. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can find this real fast. He did something just recently. Oh, there are two dudes in that group.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was one guy.
And they look alike, too. Two big buff bald dudes.
Ow. Okay, for those not in the know, or if you don't remember, if you're born too late.
I'm too sexy for my love.
Oh, that's two different dudes. I always thought it was one guy.
No, it's two guys.
Are they ever in the same?
They just look alike.
Oh, they are together.
And I am too sexy for Milan.
It's so shitty. All right, anyway. Thank you, Coy. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Mike. And thank you, Brian. And everyone who emails us here on The Morning Stream. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. You're welcome to send emails there anytime. We'll read them right here on the show. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. On Twitter, you can find us at Coverville for Brian, Scott Johnson for me, and Morning Stream for the show. That's going to do it for us. Brian, do you have we have music to go away on, don't we?
Let's go out with another song here.
All right. Okay.
This one goes out to Christian G. Says, hey, Scoop and Boop.
My favorite Christian rap group, by the way. Christian B.
Christian G. Yo. Yeah. On the 13th October, October 13th for the Americans among us, 2013, I married the most wonderful woman in the world in the pavilion of Bristol Zoo Gardens on one of the rainiest days of the year. Almost a year on at time of writing this, and four cats, two snakes, two lizards, a rabbit, and two pygmy goats later, I love her more than ever.
Wow.
I'd be really grateful if you could play a cover of White Wedding. Failing that, any cover of You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC. White Wedding was the song we had our first dance to around October 13th, 2014, as this will mark our one-year anniversary. Prove the low blow.
Whoa.
Christian G.
I don't want to go there. I don't know what's
going
on. I'm
not going
there. Yeah.
So, yes, this is a good opportunity for me to pull out a cover of White Wedding. That there's a ton. I've got had like 25 different covers of that song to choose from. Very popular song to cover. Almost played the Herman's Hermits version. There really is a Herman's Hermits cover of White Wedding.
Mm.
But it's not as good as this one. This is by a group called The New Morty Show. And these guys do the whole like lounge act thing, I think even better than anybody else that I can think of off the top of my head.
By the way, real quick.
Mr. Cheese.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Dick Cheese. I'm going to ask you a quick trivia question and I want to see how you do it.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I was starting while you were speaking, I was looking up Billy Idol. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Cause he, you know, the original hit there.
Right.
Guess who the 5 Google suggested search results when I only type Billy and nothing else.
Okay. So Billy and then blank, right?
Yeah. Who would you guess?
Is Billy Idol one of them?
Nope. That's what surprised me.
All right. Billy Mays.
Nope.
Billy
Mays not here.
So the top five results from I'm trying to think here. What else? Billy B-I-L-L-Y, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Billy Goat?
Nope.
Oh.
Although one of them looks like one. Billy, nope.
Wow.
I'll give you a hint. They're all famous people, real people.
Billy Joel.
Got number one.
Okay. Billy
Marvelous.
Crystal.
Yeah, number two. Nice. You said that before I said Marvelous,
right,
so
before you
got
said it. Yes.
Nice job.
Billy Connolly?
Nope. Okay. not quite in the public consciousness the way he should be.
Right. not like he should be, exactly.
One of these I've never heard of, you'll never get. It's Billy Bean. Who the hell's that?
Billy Bean.
I guess I could search to find out, but I don't want to.
What's eating Billy Bean?
And I'll give you one last. And Billy Graham's one of them. But I'll give you the final one is three names. And the hint is.
Oh, Billy Bob Thornton.
There you go. We got it.
Yeah.
I was going to say Blood in My Vibe.
Fargo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Fargo. I still haven't watched that
or
show.
Kaiser Blade.
Yeah, Kaiser. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fresh fried taters. Anyway, so let's now get back to what you were saying.
Yeah, the new Morty show, and here's their cover of Billy Idol's White Wedding.
All right, that's simple as that. Jeez.
Yeah, let's go right to that.
We'll be back tomorrow. We should have the normal lineup. There's a new therapy show later today. Wendy and I are recording at like 2 o'clock or something today, whatever time it is her time, 9 o'clock p.m. in Sweden. And we'll have a new episode of that, as well as a new Boop show and some other cool stuff. So stay tuned for all of that. It's White Wedding. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, little sister, what have you done? Superman.
Hey, little sister, who's the one you want?
Hey, little sister, shotgun. Let's nice start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
Hey, little sister, what have you done?
Nice day.
Frogpants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I smell like beef.
I love that clip.